This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron Norris with the Norris Group, and today we are here with Shayna Golboff. She is a real estate investor based out of Riverside, and she's actually grown up in real estate, and it's actually her side hustle, as she's been an educator for how many years?
15.
15, and she's currently an assistant principal out here in the Riverside area, but clearly that's just way too boring for her. She's currently going through a PhD program at UC Irvine for its leadership in education, correct?
Correct.
And she's studying Spanish, and she loves to travel, probably more than most. You're probably one of the people, probably top two, that I know that travels as much as you do. I actually met Shayna as part of a nonprofit board. She was voluntold to run for Mardi Gras Queen, an event that we do, and she didn't even realize what was happening until she showed up, and your picture was already plastered on posters. And then true to form, she ended up winning the entire thing. So, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
So we met you at Cashing in on a Boom, and you trusted me. We met you and I at this nonprofit event. We started talking, and you told me about your real estate. And I'm like, who are you, and where have you been? And you have been so under the radar. So this was your introduction to sort of this network of real estate investors at Cashing in on a Boom, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you were my secret weapon. So a lot of people thought it was very strange that we did a Cashing on a Boom, 7 hours of new content. We've decided we can't be experts in everything. And so we covered four very specific things at this event. It was adding square footage, mobile home park investing, accessory dwelling units, and finally, and this is where you came into play, short-term rentals and vacation rentals. And you are plan B for when cities make it illegal. And I don't think anybody had really taught it before, and I've been interested in this model forever. So it was a lot of fun, and you did get really great reviews, by the way. So I think people were really excited to hear maybe about another way to look at things, because we'll get into that. But tell me, today is really about background, how you got in the business, and then sort of how this strategy co-living has changed, because this, you've been through a full cycle. So I'll be back asking you a bunch of questions, but real fast, how did you get into real estate and when?
So my mom has always kind of ingrained in us that we would buy our first house at 21. That was just kind of the norm in our family. So I didn't know anything else. Both my brother and I bought our first house at 21 and have kind of continued. So that's kind of how it started. And I realized quickly that I don't like to have to pay for things. So I started renting out rooms. In the house that I had, it was four bedrooms, so I could rent out three of them and it would pay my mortgage as well as some extra, get some cash flow. And so once I realized that, then I just kept going. But that being said, that was 15 years ago and 16, and it has changed. I had a rental property that I was just renting to a family. And then as the market started changing, it was hard to find good families to rent to. Mm-hmm. Ones that I could trust. And so I one day just decided to experiment and post one of my condos as a house for rent, as well as individual rooms. And what I found was I was getting a lot of response for the individual rooms because Riverside's a perfect location. You have four different universities, close to UCR, close to RCC, close mm-hmm. to Cal Baptist, and all the freeways because it's downtown Riverside. And so I thought, all right, well, this could be interesting. I can make three times what I'm making renting it to a family. Plus, it's less drama, I find. I've been very lucky, maybe, but you don't have all the kids. You don't have... So a lot of it was young professionals, a lot in the graduate program, or just kind of starting out and not able to afford a house yet. So they need something to just rent while they saved up. And so, yeah, it's worked out really well. And I found that it was a good plan B, or your dad said, ace in the hole.
Right.
You know, just a different way to still utilize your property, but make more and get a better clientele.
Well, let me do a little bit of background, because there's been some cool things that we've done this year that got me really excited about this model. And so when you and I sat down and we started talking, I was so excited because I've seen the professionalized version of this model. So back in last February, show number 579 and 580, we interviewed Sterling Jowitz, and he was with Common. They're originally based out of New York, and they basically subleased because they didn't have their own inventory at first, which is a really cool way to get in the business if you don't have the money. Mm-hmm. It's, you can do master leasing and end up renting out per room and managing the process. And as long as the landlord's getting their monthly, why do they care? So I thought that was really, really cool. But he really introduced me to the rent by room model, but at a much more elevated level, to where there's so many different companies. There's Common, there's Ollie, there's Node and Dwell. And their approach is all different, and they run from, like, some of these places look like straight out of HDTV, super high end. They are really creating a lifestyle. It's not anymore about shelter. One price gets you the cost of admission. It gets you your room, your internet, your utilities, all your furniture. Some even go as far as providing cooking things like olive oil and salt and pepper. It's different. Mm-hmm. And then you're sort of like a very fun, like, stripped down version. And we'll get to that.
Basic.
But it's a really creative way to get in the business if you're just getting started. I started to get really nervous, and we've had this happen before. Real estate investors would call in, and they had strictly run numbers, assuming that they would be able to do rent control. An example, I think 6 months ago, I got a call from somebody in Palm Springs who bought a house just assuming it was going to be able to be a vacation rental. He didn't understand that the laws had changed, that they were requiring a much more expensive permit than he was expecting. There was a limit to how many times he could rent out the space per year. So my fear is because last week, right after I Survived Real Estate, we had Bob Wachowski. He is a senator behind all the accessory dwelling unit regulations that are coming out. And he basically told us he's not done yet. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that is happening is that cities are looking at vacation rentals at the same time, because they're like, okay, if you're going to override our ordinances at the local level and state, tell us that we have to allow these granny flats in the back of people's property and not allow for as much parking regulation and all that kind of stuff, we're going to regulate vacation rentals at the same time. So I think, and I don't want investors to get caught off guard, and you really are the ace in a hole. If you've been running comps strictly on being able to rent this sucker out at top dollar as a short-term rental, this is the next best thing.
Yeah.
So maybe you've already got it furnished. I don't know. But so that was one of the reasons I was so excited about this strategy. So this is a great alternative just in case the city changes. And it's just happening. San Diego just did it this year. We already know Anaheim previously did it, but I only think there's going to be more. And we learned on the radio show last week that he's not done yet. He's expecting another round of regulation regarding accessory dwelling units in 2019, probably. So here we come. So, all right. So we've got short-term rentals, and we don't have a lot of time to do the how-to, but tell me a little bit more about, is it condos typically that you own, or is houses, or is it a mix?
Mix.
A mix. And 3 to 4 bedroom typically?
Yes.
2 bathroom typically?
Yes.
The renters are typically, you said, young professionals.
In the shared housing, I found that's the best. Yes.
Interesting. But not college students. Why?
I was worried about college students. Well, they're college students, but more master's or doctorate students. So there's still those young professionals. College students, the bachelor college students, are more about the experience and the partying, and that makes me nervous. So I found that young professionals, either ones are just out of college and trying to get their professions going and just need to save money, or ones that are continuing their education, higher education, do well. Like I said, through UCR, it works really well because it's not too far away. But so I would say from like 25 to 35 year olds.
Okay. And is the turnover high?
Not really. What I found was, it depends, but if it's a graduate student, they'll be there for at least a year or two, depending on how long they need to finish. I even had one from Japan. Because he was an international student through UCR.
Okay.
And he wasn't here in the summers, but he still paid just to secure his spot. What I also find is that because you have those young working professionals or students in higher ed, they're not there as much. They're either studying or they're working. And we all know that when we start working, we're super dedicated, giving 120%. So
right.
What I found was they really are renting a room. And so that's where we go into the basic. I don't really supply a lot. I mean, basic furniture, couch, no TV.
That cracked me up. You're like, you're not getting a TV.
Well, it's not that they don't get it, but no one used it. I had initially, you know, entertainment center, but no one ever actually used the common area. Do you have just a standard set of silverware and plates? But typically I'll find that someone will have those and they'll bring and share. But I have those available. Cooking pots, pans, that kind of stuff. Just like if you were to go out of town to the beach and you rent a condo with a kitchen, you're going to have the basic essentials. Kind of the same thing.
Okay.
So I'll find that they stay from 6 months to I've had up to 3 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. And then they move out. You've got the other rooms that are rented. So it's not like the cash flow changes that much. And probably turnaround time is fast because you're just dealing with cleaning out a room.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have the wear. What I was finding was with the whole house is I'm replacing the carpet. I'm having to touch up the paint, all those big things because of the wear and tear of a family. With this, yeah, you're right. It's just a room. Steam clean the room. And then actually, typically, if you have the three or four or three different roommates, then they can be part of that. I always do an open house where people can come and view the room. And then that way you can see chemistries with people and see what will be a good fit.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the things I found out with common. I'm like, how do you get around like real estate law? Like when it comes to, what was the question I asked him? Can you have it senior only? He's like, no, we can't discriminate. So if you have a 75-year-old show up in a house of 24-year-olds, you can't deny them. It's just so it's a fine dance that you sort of walk, but you want everybody to be happy. You don't want it to be terrible. And so far, you haven't had any bad experiences.
I've been pretty lucky.
And you worked with an attorney to create a contract that works for you. That's super smart. House rules book, maybe.
Well, when it gets to that point, yes, we have had it where in the kitchen, like there's a whiteboard, which is basic, you know, taking out trash, cleaning this. But what I always explain to people is just be respectful and clean up after yourself. If you can do that, it's not that big of a deal. Because usually we're talking about three or four people. And if one person is not carrying their weight, then you have other people who are going to either communicate with them or communicate with me, and then we work to solve it.
Now, you roll in utilities and internet in the price?
Yes, I've done two different ways.
Okay.
Because this is kind of flying by the seat of my pants. I was just like, huh. And just calculating like, wow, I could actually make a lot more. And if we're talking numbers, I mean, to rent, say a standard condo, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, was about $1,500. Mm-hmm. Most it's gone up to is about $1,700.
Okay.
However, when I'm in rooms, I can rent the rooms for $650 each. The two downstairs, the standard 10 by 10. And then the master was renting for $900.
Wow. So it's a nice job.
Big difference.
Right.
Yeah. So when I first started, I thought, okay, I'll include the utilities and I had internet. Because it's pretty much what people, you don't have cable anymore. It's all internet. And that was fine. What I found, though, in the summer months, obviously, it's Riverside, it's hot, and so utilities go up. But it didn't make that much of a difference, and I always calculated 12 months to kind of figure out month to month. But I also have tried where it's utilities on them, and they're registering it, and they're doing the internet, and then they just split the costs.
Okay.
That worked out, except it was more work for me.
Really? Why?
Because then I had to calculate, you know, the gas bill comes in different times, the utility bill comes in different times, and then each month is different, and you're kind of prorating in a sense.
Oh, so it was still in your name, and you were passing on this is how much it is.
This is how much you owe.
Oh,
but it didn't always align with first of the month.
Got it.
And then when someone moved out, it's like, well, I wasn't there, or so it's easier to just include it.
Another reason I wanted to do this a little bit later, too, is I wanted to see after the election rent control. I don't know how you would really rent control something like this because it's not, I mean, it's a buy room basis. So I thought it was pretty protective, which was interesting. I haven't seen any specific regulation around the co-living and the shared housing space. So it's pretty awesome. So,
and you can fluctuate with the market, too.
Yeah.
So when you have one person move out and the market's gone up, then you could put it out there for more and you'll quickly know whether it's too high or not.
What's the longest you've had a room go vacant?
Oh, I typically will fill it within a week.
Where do you get your leads from?
Craigslist.
Craigslist still, huh? Facebook? Use anything else? Do you list it? Your mom's a realtor, so.
Nope, just Craigslist.
I'm telling her. Okay.
But she doesn't really, I mean, yeah, no. I've had really good luck. I'm telling you, once I, typically if I know someone's moving out, because they give a 30-day notice, because you still have the contract and everything. Mm. And so we'll agree, and I have not had anyone that's been against this, but I'll start showing it just a week before they move out.
Okay.
And I'll always find someone.
Always.
I haven't had any trouble with that. And you only need one instead of finding the right family.
Family, right. Mm. Interesting. And you have an open house and they get to meet the... Well,
the reason I do an open house is because I was making appointments, but I'm sure, as most people know, people don't show up. So I just did like a Sunday open house. I'll be there from 10 to 3. And what I found was it actually helped even with the rent, because now you have people coming and it's that, wait, I want what I...
Wait, oh, there's somebody else here. Oh, yeah.
So now someone else. So I actually have had like bidding wars. It's kind of funny, but not. And like I said, I always have or invite the other renters to be there as well.
Okay.
Just to see.
Do they typically?
Typically, yeah. Because they want to know who they're living with.
Okay.
And I'll always get their, you know, their thoughts.
Okay.
As well. So with that, it has worked out really well. But again, I find that when people are renting a room, they're renting a room. They pretty much stay in their room.
Yeah, and that's interesting. And then the furniture, you're not furnishing the rooms. You're only furnishing the main space.
I do have a bed and a dresser available. And so I will sometimes output furnish if needed. And that helps. The garage, I'll rent. So it'll be in addition to. So if they want to rent like a space in the garage, like for their car. Because there's only 2-car garage.
Oh, okay.
So it's...
And it's their space then.
It's their space.
Wow. Look at you. Okay. You're going to throw
trial and error, I'm telling you.
That's awesome. Well, okay. So what year was the first year that you tested this?
Oh, Lord. I don't know. Probably say about 10 years ago.
Okay. So it was before. It was when the market was getting pretty warm. So, or was it after the downturn?
It was when it started getting harder to rent for a family.
Okay, so it was probably right during the downturn then. Like 07, 08, something like that.
It was even, if I put it out for 1500, I wasn't getting as many bites. And that's typically what I'll gauge it with.
Okay.
Pricing and things. And so that's why I just thought, oh.
Interesting. So as the market crashed, you were also having a hard time, which makes a lot of sense. So the market's going down. And what's great is you didn't really care about selling. So you've always approached it like you're in it to win it and you own rentals because it's about cash flow. Mm-hmm. So you started doing this. And as the market, when did you buy the majority of your stuff before the downturn, or you bought more at the bottom, right?
The bottom, yeah.
Yeah, the bottom. Okay. Yeah.
And so that's why now I'm like, I can't. Are you kidding? These prices are too high.
Even for sharing
I got
housing.
Like 75% off Black Friday for a whole year.
The Black Friday. Exactly, right? So it doesn't quite make sense even now with the shared housing costs, but you've locked up a nice portfolio, and all of your properties at this point are the co-living concept.
They're not all. No, I do have a couple that are family still.
Okay. Are you thinking about converting them, or you like to have a few that are...
Yeah, I like the variety. I guess when I go a lot off of intuition.
Okay.
That's why this is all amazing to me to hear from different perspectives, because I just have gone off of whatever works. Mm-hmm. And... It depends on location, because again, you have the universities that are close, and I like that's kind of your prime real estate of, oh, okay, well, I can get UCR students, and especially international, you know, and UCR, I found that they're renting their shared housing $700 to share a room.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is outrageous. That's what they're paying. I'm paying, you know, they're going to get $650 with me and get a whole room to themselves.
Right.
It's...
I'm laughing because in New York City, there was a two-room. I stayed in a residential hotel on Broadway, and I think it was 77th. It was a hotel that they hadn't touched in like 40, 50 years. It was two rooms, and there's four guys. There's two bunk beds in one, and the bathroom was super tiny and moldy. There were roaches that would come up to you and stare at you when the lights were on.
And like, I can't even imagine how much you paid. Exactly.
Each of us were paying $600 each per month. So $2,400 for two, not a two bedroom, a two room. So yeah, man, college housing is no joke. So yeah, you must look like amazing compared to their other options. So when the market started to bottom, and then it started to go up, was there some specific point where it was easier to start renting it per room, or did you notice a difference?
Like I said, not really. I haven't really studied my trends I've well, just kind of gone off of, okay, if I put it on Craigslist and I'm not getting a lot of responses within a day, then I either need to lower or I need to find a plan B. And that's kind of where that came about. And then when I realized the money was so easy to make, that's when I kind of continued it.
Right. And you really
a lot of it's referrals too now.
Really?
In the sense of, oh yeah, people who graduate and they know other people or people that have graduated and are, again, are just starting out and they'll say, oh, so I get a lot of, a lot of times people call me, do you have something that you're renting? And I'm like, no, but I can buy one. And so I've done that actually a couple years ago. I knew someone who was having a hard time finding a place. And so I just bought a property for him and then just filled other rooms.
Wow. That works out great. And you keep all your stuff within sort of a easy drive for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Easy. Okay. And so now the market's sort of getting a little soft and you're just not at all worried because your plan is to hold these for a while.
Yeah, I enjoy having rentals. I mean, I haven't had a horrible experience yet, so that probably could be why.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
Okay.
But no, yeah, I enjoy it. And I have found that I've met some really good people that I've been able to help along the way. And
you're an educator, so do people think you're weird?
Probably.
Do you talk real
estate? Aside from that, no one really knows about this side of me. They just see me as assistant principal, which is funny because I make more of my money
on the real estate side.
I do the education because I love it.
That's so cool. I think that's why I just love spending time with you so much. You've got this passion in the real estate stuff. I mean, it's just fun to see what you do because you really love it. And you're getting a PhD and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I like the way that we're building the education online is that we get to interview these people too that do all these different strategies and where they come from. And what was funny about having you on stage with Iris Veneration and Patrick Diamond, even the way that they did the short-term vacation rental business is so starkly different. Patrick was so about the experience from soup to nuts. And for Iris, some of her stuff was just like, it's the beach. The beach is the experience. I'm exactly. not giving you any extra. So, and then for you, if you're listening and you want to go back to sort of understand what I'm talking about the lifestyle brands that are doing this, go back to show, what was that? 250, oh gosh, 579 and 580, and listen to Common and sort of how they got started. And they're building their own inventory now. But some of these buildings are super fancy, mid-rise to where the bottom floor is like a coffee shop and a yoga room. And they said in San Francisco, they're even putting together like events to where you can meet your local council member. And I'm like, what is going on?
I'm not there.
Well, and
but a lot of my locations do have, you know, like a pool. Like that's why I enjoy the condos because they have...
Oh, they have the amenities
that I'm not having to pay for.
Well, you are an HOA. Sorry to tell you about that.
Yeah, but it's not that much so far.
I hate
that's
HOAs.
Why I'm on the board. So I can continue. Remember? That was my plan. That's right. That was my loophole.
So you have absolute power. One of my HOAs, I'm not allowed to be on the board. They kicked off all the non-owner occupied.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's why I can't buy anymore. Because then I can't be on the board.
Oh, in that okay. association. That specific association. Mm-hmm. All right. Well... I'm trying to think of anything else to ask you about the timing piece of it. So you've been through a full cycle and it sounds like it really hasn't changed so drastically, which is cool to know.
It just helps me gauge my prices.
Right.
That's really all it is. But when you're doing the shared housing, you're absolutely, I have made more renting the rooms than with the family.
Not only just more per month, but less in turnover. I mean, how often are you having... I mean, you've had some of these for over a decade by this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kind of repairs that you've had to do.
I'm telling you, it's minimal compared to what I will have with a family.
Well, and I'm encouraging people to be listening to possible ideas. I mean, think about senior housing this way. Mm-hmm. Think about, I just had a conversation today with somebody, autism just has exploded. So you have a lot of parents having to plan or, people who can't live on their own. I've had, some investors that rent to special needs. That's specifically their niche. What does it take to sort of prepare your property for the special niche where, you know, that specific tenant is probably government funded a great deal of the time. And the length of stay might be far longer.
It's interesting you said that because before I did the shared housing, I did contemplate doing Section 8 mm-hmm. in housing and just kind of renting that. But again, there was a lot of paperwork and a lot of other stuff that
it comes along. Yeah.
Comes along with it.
Yes, that's going to be another show that we're going to be doing in the near future. So you don't have a website. You're sort of under the radar. This is typically the part of the show where I have people say, hey, this is how you get a hold of me, but they'll have to reach out to me if they want to ask questions. So there you have it.
He knows how to find me.
Well, thank you for joining us. That's absolutely awesome.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.